All right. Our first two guests are Pastor John Speed and Marcus Pittman. Pastor John's been on with us before. He is the pastor of Christ is King Baptist Church in Syracuse, New York. He's been in full-time ministry since 1992. The Lord used him in full-time evangelism ministry from 2005 until 2011. He helped start the Lost Cause Ministries, and you will find them at lostcauseministries.com. His passion is proclaiming the authority, person, and work of Jesus Christ to the city of Syracuse, where he's now planting the church. The church website is CUSE, C-U-S-E, Bible Study, C-U-S-E, Bible Study, all one word, .blogspot.com. John is also leading a wonderful mentoring program called The Log College, and that website is thelogcollege, all one word, .com, which is designed to teach the doctrinal and practical foundations of open-air preaching while teaching commitment to the local church. Very important. And he has been preaching in abortion clinics since 2011. And along with him is Marcus Pittman. Marcus is the creative director and producer for CrownRights.org, and that is the website, CrownRights, all one word, .org, a creative arts ministry dedicated to producing film, media, and music that equips and encourages the local church to impact the culture for Christ. He is the producer of the soon-to-be-released documentary, Babies Are Murdered Here, and that's one of the main things we're going to be this hour. And the website for that documentary is Babies Are Murdered Here. Babies Are Murdered Here, all one word, .com. You can also support the production of the documentary. The organization Crown Rights has been told by their board of directors that basically they need to raise about $10,000 in order to make the documentary free to the masses. And this is, I mean, I've seen very little of it. I saw the trailer. We're going to play the audio for that. And I saw another trailer, like a one-minute clip, that just got my blood boiling. And it was like watching this particular clip was like when I was a deputy sheriff and they would show a reenactment of a deputy-involved shooting, and your pulse would start to quicken, your palms would start to sweat, your mouth's getting dry, you're starting to taste the lead in your mouth from the adrenaline pumping in your body, because you know that could be you at any moment. And as I'm watching this clip of this guy going ballistic outside of an abortion clinic and then rushing toward the Christians who were standing outside pleading with people, I mean, I felt like I was right there. I felt like it was a moment when I was standing in front of this abortion clinic. So, I mean, this is going to be absolutely powerful. On the lighter side, Marcus has also produced 30 videos called 30 Failed Sunrises, if you want to laugh, and you may need a laughter antidote after some of the things we're going to talk about today. You can go to the Transplant Ministries YouTube page for that. So, with that, I want to bring my two guests on, Marcus and John. How are you brothers doing today?
Hey, doing all right.
Doing good.
So what's the weather like up there in Syracuse today, John?
Well, I think the wind chill factor was about 10 below zero today.
Wow.
And not too much snow, but very cold.
See, it didn't get anywhere near that cold in Norway.
I was thinking about that today, wondering if that was the case.
Yeah, no, I think the coldest it got was about 15 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 10 degrees below zero Celsius. So, and we didn't have any snow. So, and Marcus, where are you today, Mr. World Traveler?
I'm in Georgia, man. Traveling is right. Yeah, I'm in Georgia. So.
And what are you doing down there? Because I had heard you talking today about going to D.C.
Yeah, I'm going to – this week I'll be at the March for Life. We'll be filming the documentary there, continuing there. And then I'll be coming back. I'll have 2 weeks. And then we'll be going from there to – we'll be going to the Jeremiah Cry East Coast Tour. We'll be filming that, sending the whole Crown Rights production crew for that. And then coming – back for a day and then going to Nevada to film an eschatology conference. So,
wow. There you go. Well, praise God he's given you work, man. I remember not too long ago talking to you about wondering if you were going to have a roof over your head.
Yeah, it's definitely picking up, so that's a blessing for sure.
Excellent. All right. Before we start talking about babies are murdered here, I want to play the audio for the trailer and just give everybody a sound bite of what they have to look forward to. So let's take a listen.
This abortion in and of itself is a curse on our nation. It is a judgment. God has put on us a blindness and a stupidity where we don't even step up and speak out against this. I'm talking about the church.
Clear that you shall not murder, and God hates hands that shed innocent blood, and we should rescue those being, you know, led to the slaughter. You would think, with the hundreds of churches in the surrounding areas, that you'd have a few more people called to save babies that are threatened with death.
I'm going to the church across the street from the abortion clinic, and I really just want to see what they say.
As part of your missions program, has there been any organized outreach towards pro-life issues? Abortion clinics or anything like that?
No. That's not something that I know the church is stamped on.
Do you know that there's an abortion clinic right across the street from you?
Yeah. No.
Go stand in front of the abortion clinic, hold signs. I don't even have to say.
It's not a comfortable ministry. You're not going to be thought well of by the neighbors around or the staff of the abortion clinic.
Why does my daughter have to see that? That's disgusting.
But I'm not killing my baby, so it doesn't matter.
They're going to have the ladies that are yelling at you.
Well, I guess you're going to be walking in the building cussing you out.
Right here at this abortion clinic, they advertise on their website that there's no protesters, so the ladies can feel safe when they come, and that's no more. We're going to end it now.
Your secret is out. The people of this neighborhood will know that you shed innocent blood here, and you sit back and laugh as the registered king turns from the blood money that you have clenched in your fist.
Now, that last voice you heard was our dear brother Robert Gray, one of the finest men I know and one of the best opener preachers around. And then the other voice you heard throughout that audio was Pastor John Speed. Now, this first question, it's kind of a combination for the both of you. Probably a question maybe some folks are asking, why another documentary about abortion and abortion clinic ministries, and what's going to set Babies Are Murdered Here apart from things we've seen previously, like 180, Blood Money, things like that? Marcus, why don't you start?
Yeah, I think 180 was really good, but I think this is the what now. I think when people watch 180, it's like, okay, great. I know abortion is murder. Now what? And this is the now what of 180. This is almost, it's kind of like a sequel. These are the people that are distributing 180 and out there on the streets, and they're there every day. John Barros is there every day, 6 days a week, from the time the abortion clinic opens to the time it closes. That's the only place he goes to preach the gospel, is that place. And so you have, you know, people like that, and Patty Smith, who will be on the show tonight, and it's showing what can be done right now to end abortion. Like, there's something we can do. And then there's that, and then the plan is eventually to go to Mississippi, and I want to show the work that the Christians in Mississippi have done through personhood. They've shut down 6 out of 7 abortion clinics, and the last one in Jackson is on hanging from a thread right now because of how the Christians have got involved in numerous ways. And so this is kind of what this is doing.
Now, did I understand you right? There's only 7 abortion clinics in all of Mississippi?
No. There's one.
Or in a particular city?
No. There's one. In all of Mississippi, there were 7 abortion clinics. And the Christians have come together, and through preaching outside of the clinics, through getting involved in the government, and through changing the laws, they've reduced it to 1 abortion clinic in the entire state. And and they've just passed a law forcing the abortion doctors to have check-in status at a local hospital, which no hospital will allow an abortion doctor to check in patients at their at their hospital. So it's on the very last, they failed to meet the deadline to get check-ins, the ability to have admittance ability at the hospital. So that clinic's almost done. And so you can actually, I heard someone say you can actually take tours of these abandoned abortion clinics in the state. They're actually there, and you can go on a tour. Yeah, so I want to get out there to Mississippi. And
wow, that's...
Because there is something we can do. Like, we can preach the gospel, and we can that's the first thing we can do, and that's the foundation. But there's all these other different things we can do, too, and just in terms of what to do to shut it down. And so this is what this documentary is doing. An abortion clinic, just by having protesters out there, loses money. The Guttmacher Institute issued that they lose a huge percentage of business just when someone's standing out there with a sign because people don't want to go in. And then that's only what they can measure based on canceled appointments. And that doesn't include...
I've seen that happen. I mean, I'm a rookie at this, too. I've only been at it for months, not years, like people like Patty and John Morrows. But even in my short time out there, I have seen people drive up, sit in their car or truck, look at me, look at my cross for several minutes, and then pull away and drive away, not to be seen again that day.
I know. And so this documentary is going to call the church to action and let them know that there is something that can be done to shut it down, and it works. And so it's going to be great. The stuff we've gotten is amazing. The video which God has allowed us to get for this has been incredible. This week we're filming at Orlando Women's Clinic, which is the worst abortion clinic in the country, and we're filming John, and I'm interviewing him. And it's definitely one of the worst. It's one of the only ones you can get late term abortions, and there's all kinds of terrible things with it. But we're filming John. I'm interviewing him, and he stops because he sees a couple that he stopped from having an abortion, and they bring him their 19-day-old baby right there while I'm filming. And they're drug addicts, and they're going to a methadone clinic right down the street. And they're reading books that John gave them. They're reading John Piper's Finally Alive, and they start to get involved in the church. And they have this 19-day-old baby that John's holding. And it's amazing. I mean, you see that. It's just amazing. And she's thanking him for saving his baby. And so this documentary is going to be unlike anything. God's really putting the story together. We couldn't plan that stuff, man. So it's going to be really, I'm really excited about getting it out there.
All right. Now, John, we've had you on recently talking about what was going on up there in Portland, Maine. You've recently taken up the cause of the unborn in the sense of actually going out to a clinic. As you look back on your many years of ministry, why do you think you didn't get involved sooner? Why do you think it took so long? It's a question I've been asking myself, too.
That's a really good question. I think there's a lot of things I can blame it on. You know, there's lack of good examples in the sense that every church that I ever went to going up through over the years, both ones that I grew up in and ones that I pastored, there was just nothing happening. Nobody was going out to do any ministry out in front of clinics, and so I never saw any good examples. This at the same time that I was coming up, you know, like in high school and college, Operation Rescue was doing its thing back in the late 80s, early 90s, and that, I think, really freaked a lot of people out. I grew up near Buffalo, New York, and they did a huge thing in Buffalo, and a lot of people were arrested. A lot of people were, you know, trying to block access to the clinics and that sort of thing, and so chaining themselves to the doors and that sort of thing. And I think that kind of thing scared a lot of people in the church off from doing anything. I think they thought if they were going to be out there at the clinic that you'd have to do some jail time. And I think that was part of my thinking. Yeah. But if I'm really honest about it, it's just complacency. I mean, I had stuff going on. I had hobbies. I had my family. I had, you know, ministry, things I was doing in ministry. And honestly, it's often been said that you do the things you care about, and I didn't care.
Now, so what was the turning point for you? For me, it was being involved in the 180 production with Living Waters and overseeing the distribution on campuses, and then looking in the mirror one day and saying, "This is all I'm doing. I'm not out there like a Patti Smith. I'm not out there like a John Barros." And that was kind of the turning point for me. What was the turning point for you that put you where you are today outside the clinic?
You know, I would just say it was a process of praying, and, you know, I think the Holy Spirit just bringing that conviction in my heart. A friend finally invited my wife and I to come out. She had been going out to a clinic in Fort Worth, Texas, and she invited my wife and I to come out there with our family. She brings her kids out there. And so we went, and just to see how it went, I preached out there for the first time. And shortly thereafter, I met with the guy who's been doing that ministry for, I think, like 15 or 20 years. He's been out there every day that clinic's open, another guy like John Barros. And he took us to breakfast, and he looked at Kim and I and said, you know, all I'm asking you to do is pray and ask God what he would have you to do, and then go do it. He says, does that sound reasonable? Would you be willing to do that? And I said, sure, you know, we'll pray about it and do what God tells us to do. And what it came down to in the process of praying and reading the word and going out there and observing and taking part, we're very clearly, in our minds, we're very clearly convinced that this not only is something that we should be doing as a family, but it's something that I really want to encourage pastors and churches to get off the sideline and get into this fight and bring the gospel out there to abortion clinics.
Amen. And again, if you just joined us, my guests for this first hour, Pastor John Speed of Christ is King Baptist Church in Syracuse, New York. You can find more about the church at qcusebiblestudy.blogspot.com. And Marcus Pittman, the creative director and producer for Crown Rights. Their website is crownrights.org, and Marcus is producing a brand-new documentary called Babies Are Murdered Here, and you can see the trailer at babiesaremurderedhere.com. Marcus, what have you learned about the people? What have you learned about people like John Barros? I've heard of John Barros. I don't know if I've ever met him. I knew he was out every day, but I had no idea that he was out 6 days a week from open to close at this clinic. What have you learned, good, bad, and ugly, about the folks who are out there on the streets in front of these clinics?
I think, with John, he's one of the most dedicated people I've ever met in my life. I mean, he comes out there. We were there. I was there. I filmed 3 days with him, 2 days with him, and then one morning with Patty. But the 2 days I was there with him, the Friday it actually started raining. And I'm like, are we going? Like, what's happening? And he just pulls out an umbrella in his car, and he plants it down, and he stays. He said, whatever the weather is, he's there. As long as they're murdering children, he's there. And the dedication is amazing. I mean, the guy, he started 2.5 years ago, I believe, and he was just sitting out there, and he said, Lord, if this is where you want me, feed my family. And he's been doing it for 2.5 years ever since, and money's been provided for him, and he's been able to support his family by being out there. So, I mean, I think that's one thing, is the dedication of these people. And it's not – I don't think that being out there – at the abortion clinic is something for everybody. I think it is a special calling, but everybody needs to be involved in abortion ministry somehow. Like, we got to get it. So whatever it is, whatever your gift is, whether it's you can work in a job, you can support these people, but we need to be a lot louder than we are. And you know, you see these guys like John, and he's a hero. John saves multiple babies per week. I don't think anybody has that record like John does.
Wow.
And it's not because there's something special about him per se and like what he does, but it's that he's there every single day. Even if they're not murdering, he's still there to get people who are just going in for a checkup or whatever it is. He's constantly there. He's constantly preaching the gospel, and he's just, everybody in that entire neighborhood knows him. Poor people come to him, and he preaches the gospel. The abortion workers come out and talk to him for lunch, and they have lunch and sit together and talk. And it's really unbelievable what he's been able to do by just being there all the time. So
now, what do you think he's done, or has he told you, or did you see, what has John done to establish that kind of rapport with, for all intents and purposes, people who are the enemy, who have a hand in the murder, and yet they're coming out to have lunch with him? What has he done?
He's
just
there.
Is it just the time?
Just there. Yeah, he's just there, and, you know, he's a very gracious guy, and you'll see in the documentary, you'll see how he deals with people, how kind and gentle he is, and just, I think it's just his presence. You know, it's the same thing with you know, open air preachers that continually stay at one college and that's all they go to. I think once you just sit in a place and you stay there for a while, I think that's just what happens, is people just get to know you for more than just a guy who's just there randomly for no reason at all, but they see you as someone who's truly dedicated, and you know, that's huge. So
now, Marcus, while you've been going out to these various clinics, and you know, obviously, you don't have to mention names or anything like that. That's not why we're here. But have you seen anything among folks who are out in front of these clinics that make you wince? Just like, oh, I don't know if I would have said that. Why are they doing it that way? Why are they even here? Anything like that at all?
I haven't, but I've been told there are, you know, yeah, you have the Catholics that just stand out there and they just pray, and that's all they do. And they don't really talk to anyone, and then you always have the crazy, crazy people. But I haven't seen any of that. They weren't there when we were filming or shooting. But I mean, the sad thing is a lot of these abortion clinics are abandoned. Like, they don't have anybody there to do anything,
yeah.
And the only ones that are there are usually, you know, most of the time, the solid guys. And, for example, I mean, I think one of the key things is when we were filming in Syracuse with John, we went to this abortion clinic that no one's ever been to, and it's right across the street from a church. And on the website for this abortion clinic, it's Women's Health Horizons in Syracuse. It's still up. They still have it up, which now it's just a lie, but it was true up until we started going there. But they say on their website that there's no protesters here. It's free of any problems. You can feel safe when you come here. And I remember we were filming, and I was interviewing John out in front of the abortion clinic, and he mentions to me that on the website they advertise this as we're standing right across the street from a local church. And the entire documentary and film just came together in an instant. Like, I remember, like, John was there, you know. Like, as soon as he said that, I said, well, what did you just say? And he said, I said, repeat that. You know? And so he got that. And then, you know, Robert, you know, was saying, when he said, you know, your secret is out, you know, no more. You know,
yeah.
Your deeds will be exposed. And, you know, we got to see that. I mean, just, there was no one there. It's in a quiet neighborhood right across the street from a church. There's no way, unless you were looking for an abortion clinic to minister to, you would know it's an abortion clinic. There's just doctor names on the signs. And then the next day, they had a cookie sale at this church. And I just want to clear this up because I think there were some things going around that me and John snuck into this church and filmed them without these people knowing. That's not true. That's not true at all. We went
okay,
in there and we bought cookies. Well, they're having this cookie sale, and I was like, John, if the church is open to the public tomorrow, we have to go in there and we have to ask them, like, why aren't they out there? Well, what are they doing? Do they know about it? And so they just happened to have this cookie sale. And so we went in there, we bought some cookies, we told them we were filming on church's community involvement in the community, and we wanted to ask them some questions about what they were doing, and they referred us to their director of missions, which is the lady on the video that said their church doesn't have a position on abortion, and they were, and we talked to them, and then usually you're supposed to ask them permission before, but that way if they get really mad, they can't turn back and say no. But we asked them afterwards, even after we interviewed them, they still said we could use it and we have permission. So it wasn't anything that was undercover or anything like that. So for, just to clear that up, but it really went well. They were very nice, and, you know, I won't give away what happens in the conversations. We'll say that
sure.
for the film. But it's really good. Like, it's really shocking and surprising just how that turns out. So
now, John, in that trailer, the trailer is powerful from beginning to end. And one of the most powerful parts is when you're preaching, and I presume it was to your own congregation, and you ask, you know, with a very stern and angry tone, where's the church? So what do you think the answer to that question is? Where's the church when it comes to abortion clinic ministry?
Well, I have to correct you on that. I was actually preaching at the Jeremiah Cry Conference.
Oh, okay.
But where's the church? I think the answer is that they're AWOL on the one hand, and on the other hand, they're also ineffective at the same time. You've got people that don't do anything, like me. I didn't do anything for a long time. And then you've got people that when they do go out there, like the Roman Catholics, go out and pray their rosaries and, you know, stand there with crucifixes or whatever, they're not doing anything that has any power. If there's evangelicals that are going out there, they're going out there with a gospel that's so watered down that the Roman Catholics that are with them can accept it. And those that volunteer at the crisis pregnancy centers don't have any problem handing out those gospel tracts because it doesn't call them to repent. So you've got both nothing happening at the clinics, and then at the same time you've got this sort of modern gospel proclamation that's going on, or no proclamation at all. And so I think that's what's going on. As a whole, I mean, when it comes to the larger pro-life movement, I do think what Marcus is recording is this, and I really believe it, I believe there's a wave of open-air preachers coming that are waking up to this right now, mainly because of 180, and hopefully through this project as well, that are going to go out there and take the true gospel of salvation out there, and not only will we be a testimony to the ladies that are coming for abortions, but we'll also be a testimony to those that have compromised and those who believe another gospel altogether.
Now, John, have you had opportunity since the Lord moved in your heart to be out there, have you had opportunity to talk to other pastors who don't have this kind of ministry in their church?
Yeah, a lot of it's been going on since this trailer's come out. I get emails or, you know, phone calls pretty frequently now, and they're asking, you know, what can we do? And that's exciting. So we're seeing some pastors. One pastor from Tennessee who contacted me, their church isn't doing any kind of open-air ministry, any kind of street evangelism at all right now. But because of what he's seeing in this trailer, he wants to see his church get out there and do something. So that's kind of encouraging on two fronts. They're not only going out to hit the clinic for the first time, but they're also going out to engage in street evangelism for the first time. So,
wow,
you know, that's really cool. I think that's another possible side effect of all this.
Now, have you run into any negative reactions from pastors when you brought the subject up to them?
You know, locally, when it comes to the pastors here in Syracuse, it hasn't been talked about much directly. There's an email that goes out to all the pastors in our association. Then they sent out a link to this documentary, the promo, and I expected to hear something back, you know, from the other pastors, and it was pretty much crickets, you know, chirping in the background. It was just, I don't think people know what to make of it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
They're scared of it yet, I think.
And again, my guests are Pastor John Speed and Marcus Pittman. We're talking about this exciting new documentary that's going to be released soon, and we'll be asking the question when in just a moment. And it's called Babies Are Murdered Here. Our call-in number is 646-652-2316. Again, it's 646-652-2316. If you have questions for our guests, if you agree or disagree with this kind of ministry outside of abortion clinics, we'd love to hear from you. Marcus, has anything surprised you during the making of this documentary so far?
I think just the abortion ministry has kind of just, well, there's two things. Abortion ministry surprised me because I think people have this victimhood impression with those who are going into abortion clinics as if these are these women who are in these terrible, tough situations and they don't have any other options and they don't know what to do. And that's not the case. If anybody spends just one day at an abortion clinic or just an hour or two when they're going in to murder their children and confront these people, they're not terribly hopeless situations. These are women who are boasting in their sin. They act exactly like you would expect murderers to act who can murder and get away with it. They act exactly like that. And you see it over and over and over again. If there is a rare situation like a health situation or anything like that, it's I've never seen it, and it's very, very rare. And most of the time you get the health situation, they're lying to you about it because they'll say the health situation, and then a few minutes later they'll completely just flip on you and expose what they really want to do. And so, like, you don't see that. The other thing that just really, really surprises me is that we have the cameras there, and that you would think would be like a huge problem to have cameras as people are going into here. But John pointed out that he was shocked that there's no shame. You know, like, they don't mind the cameras being there. Now, there are a few. I think the abortion doctors are more concerned about the cameras than the people going in. But, you know, it was kind of saddening to see that, you know, they're just there and, you know, they see the cameras and you know, one guy we were able to interview who was bringing his wife in there or his girlfriend in there to film, and we were able to interview him about what he thought abortion was. And, you know, there are times when people don't like the cameras. We have a really interesting setup. The guy who is doing the abortion ministry or the girl is mic'd up. They have a mic on. Patty had a mic on. John had a mic on. And it's a wireless mic, and I'm filming from 200 or 300 feet away sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we can capture the entire conversation that's taking place pretty clearly and without being in the way. And so that's huge because you really get to see, they're not showing off of the camera or anything, but it's just, this is how they feel about murdering their child. They're okay with it. It's really shocking. And, you know, there's this one thing that we got last Friday, this guy was in his car with his three kids. And John, I was 200 or 300 feet away listening to this conversation as I was filming it. John is leaning into the window of this guy's car, and you hear these three kids crying as their dad is talking to their father, to John. Their dad is talking to John about murdering his wife, going in there and murdering baby number four. So it's really, I mean, this is a view that people do not see this view. When it comes to, like, you just don't see it. the Catholics don't see it if they don't engage the people routinely. They won't see it. Just, this is just not a view of abortion that people see. It's going to expose exactly what it is, and that's the goal. This is exactly what abortion is. So.
Now, have you guys run into anything like bubble zones? I know from talking to Patty Smith that, by and large, bubble zones are somewhat mythical. But have you guys run into any issues like that as you've been out filming and going to different clinics?
The only, just from the clinics that I've been to, the only time there's a bubble zone or anything like that is if there's been a court issue for that specific clinic.
Like a restraining order.
Yeah, a restraining order or something to that effect. Or, you know, they complain, they bring a lawsuit against the pro-life folks that are out there, and then the judge settles it in court as to where the boundaries are going to be. We had something like that in Fort Worth. But otherwise, it's pretty much the same rules when it comes to anytime you're doing street evangelism in the public traditional public forum. You just got to keep the sidewalks open. You want to stay off of private property. When it comes to the abortion clinics, you know, if they catch you trespassing. I know of one guy who, I think he just took one step onto an abortion clinic's property, and they ticketed him for that. So they called the police, filed a complaint. So, you know, you just got to be aware of that sort of stuff.
Now, John, what have you learned about yourself as you've committed yourself to abortion clinic ministry? I mean, is anything about your own character, your own walk with Christ, any skills being honed? What have you learned about yourself in this process?
I think, honestly, the thing that I've learned, I sort of have this reputation with friends and different churches that I've been in where they kind of look at me like I'm some kind of commando evangelist who's not afraid to go anywhere or do anything like Rambo or something. And
there was that day you tied the bandana around your head, but.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Tracks in my gun holster or something, I don't know. But, you know, it's ridiculous. Because I struggle with the same fears that everyone else does, and that's really brought to the forefront when it comes to this abortion clinic ministry. Every single time that we go out there, I really struggle with my flesh. I don't want to do it. There's about 100 other things I would rather do than go out there and be cussed out by people and, you know, have doctors threaten my family or me or whatever, and you know, have to deal with the police that come out in response to these ridiculous charges that the doctors will cook up or whatever. And, you know, that stuff just gets tiring. And the truth is, I find out I just have to cry out to God for strength, and I'm finding out how weak I am. And I'm finding out how unable I am to stop someone from murdering their baby. Apart from God doing something, how unable I am to even share the gospel and to have that be effective in someone repenting and believing it unless God does something. That's it.
Amen. But, you know, that's a good point. Like, John this weekend was making a comment about the RVs that have the ultrasound system in them.
Uh-huh.
And we tend to think, oh, if they could only see this ultrasound, if these ladies could only just see the hands and feet of this baby, then they won't want to abort it. But the problem is they know that it's a baby inside of them. They don't need to see
right.
it to know that. That's why they want to have an abortion in the first place, is to stop it. But so there's no way that ultrasounds have a greater success rate or fail rate than just being out there and preach the gospel. And I believe, as John believes, that preaching the word of God and convicting them and using biblical words like murder and sin when you're talking to them is a lot more successful plan to stop abortion and has a higher success rate than than any other thing you could do. We have to understand the total depravity when we're doing this, because you're not going to be able to change them with ultrasounds or any other thing. But you can but the Word of God does exactly what it's supposed to do.
Now Marcus, you as part of the work on this documentary, are you going to be talking to anybody working in crisis pregnancy centers?
I hope to. That's the plan. That's the plan for going to D.C. is to get. What I really want to do is I really want to expose the humanist victimhood mentality of abortion ministry that's really plagued this country for 40 or 50 years. The idea that these ladies are victims and that they're in a tough situation, and we have to make them. If they have an abortion, we need to comfort their conscience as opposed to use their conscience against them like you're supposed to bring them to repentance. And so I really want to go after that. I want to ask the CPCs, why they believe that abortion is still a valid choice. A lot of them, there's an abortion clinic this week, a crisis pregnancy center this week I found out about that says there is no right choice. It depends what's best for you. Yeah, and so we have to expose the idea, and we have to expose this because there are many pro-choice crisis pregnancy centers who would say they're against abortion, but they're also for a woman's right to choose. And so we have to know which CPCs in our area are against abortion completely and will call it what it is, or which crisis pregnancy center is actually a pro-choice crisis pregnancy center. Planned Parenthood is smart, man. They set up traps, and they know how to, have our churches think they're stopping abortion by supporting a crisis pregnancy center, and all the while, they believe that, it's a choice, so... It's a war we're at. It's a war, and so they're deceiving a lot of people and churches and stuff. So we have to get to the root of that too. So hopefully
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say.
That didn't take long. So Marcus, how can people support the Making of Babies Are Murdered Here? Your goal is to raise at least $10,000, and last time I heard from you a number, you've raised under 1,000 so far. So how can people
I think we're right at 1,000, right? Almost there. So we're right at 1,000 now. We need to raise 10,000, and the reason is because it's going to take about 2 months to put everything together, and that's time I wouldn't be working, and you have to cover the bills in that time, and there's the cost of equipment and travel, and just it takes a lot of money to make a film, and so we're trying to get it to where we don't have to sell it. We can just put it out there on the internet, and we can get it in as many people's hands as possible. And so that's the goal. Is we just want to expose abortion for what it really is, expose the hearts of those who are getting abortions for what they really are, and to really show that abortion ministry does work, and we can shut it down if we get mobilized. And so the best way to do that is just to put it out there on the internet, just like 180 does, throw it out there for free, distribute it, and hopefully we can get people behind it and whatnot. So, yeah, if you go to crownrights.org/support, and you can donate that way. There's a link to it as well on babiesaremurderedhere.com. I really want to do a lot more traveling. I'd love to get out there to California, and I have to get to Mississippi, and I'll probably go back to Orlando a few more times as well, to get what we need to get to really sum this up and clean it up. But it's going to be great. The video that we have is phenomenal. God is just, John will tell you too, like God is just places these stories when we go to film. We don't plan anything. We don't make phone calls to get people there. We just go and we film, and there's nothing scripted, and it's just whatever happens on that day, God has just been using. He hasn't wasted a single day And so it's really phenomenal, and I think it's going to just, it's going to rock people's
Amen.
Worlds when it comes to it.
Amen. Hey, John, we got about 2 minutes left, buddy. Give our listeners an exhortation, a tongue lashing, whatever you think you need to do in the last couple of minutes to get people motivated to find out where their clinics are and to go out there in front of them.
Well, the only thing that I would say is, you know, look at what the scriptures say. The scriptures are very clear about life in the womb, that this life is viable human life, that it is human life. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God calls Jeremiah to the ministry of being a prophet before he was even formed in the womb. And so this is life, and there's no question. So if this is literal murder, and we all, you know, if we say we're pro-life, we all believe that it is. When it comes to literal murder, how far would you go to stand up for the life of the person who's being murdered? Now, we've got scriptural commands and parameters that we have to work with, and those are the ones that we work with. We don't seek violence against anybody. We simply, you know, stand up and try to intervene and plead and do everything that we can to try to convince these ladies. And all it takes is just going out, finding out whether or not the Planned Parenthood or the clinic in your town is doing abortions, going out there and just standing there, maybe with a sign, praying, just trying to engage the ladies as they walk in. It's simple stuff, but it's life-changing, and it's going to probably challenge you and stretch you more than anything you've ever done before. So,
Amen.
You know, be prayed up and seek the Lord before you go out there and do something like that. But it's a lot simpler than we make it.
Amen. Hey, Marcus, before I let you guys go, I just bought my sign today, Babies Are Murdered Here. Bought the 2-foot by 3-foot sign to hold while I'm out there in front of the abortion clinic in my area. Where can people get those signs?
Yeah, if you go to babiesaremurderedhere.com and you click on the download signs, there's two things you can do. You can either download the sign for free and take it to a printer of your choice, or my friends Tony and Shana are actually making them, and then they're really nice waterproof versions of Robert's famous logo now he made. and so you can get them made and printed. If you buy the sign through Tony and Shana at Seed Shakers, part of that goes towards funding the project as well. So a small part goes towards funding the project, and you can do that. So, yeah, if you get the sign, if you get a sign, or if you make your own, send it to the Babies Are Murdered Here Facebook page, and we're posting it, and we're really trying to start a movement and, you know, and use biblical language and what we're defining and stuff, so.